Sex City is a show that discusses sex and sexuality. Some words and phrases may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm just a baby in this business of love. I'm a mover, a shaker, like Mac tonight. I could take your last dollar with the throw of the dice. I got a gift for women from heaven above. But I'm just a baby in this business of love. I'm a smooth operator in all affairs. Sophisticated and debonair. I've got all kinds of fancy stuff. I'm just a baby in this business of love. I'm just a baby. Nobody ever trained me. Somebody save me. I'm just a baby in this business of love.
And welcome to Sex City, here live on CIUT every Tuesday night from 11 p.m. to midnight, talking all about sex and sexuality and gender and how those intersect with art and politics and culture and everything else in the world. We are here to talk about sex. We're here to talk about the sex-related topics that interest you, and we love doing it every week here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Make sure you catch up with us on Facebook. That's Sex City. And follow us on Twitter at Sex City Radio and catch up with us with years and years of past shows over on sexcityradio.blogspot.ca. This is feeling like a really special show here on Sex City for a couple reasons. Number one, the topic. We're going to talk about many different aspects of consent. It's a word that's on everybody's lips with a lot of many different incidents happening, some very noteworthy here in Toronto, some more noteworthy around the world. And we're going to get into some legal aspects. We're going to get into some of the relationship with BDSM, and we're going to get into the relationship that we ourselves individually and societally have with the idea of consent. It's also a special show because I'm very happy to have a special guest co-host, Lisa Booker, here, who is a journalist and really helped us out on our fundraising last time. She gave us a generous donation to be a guest host, and I'd love to have her just as a guest host anyways. She was on the show, you might remember her back in October. She was a great guest. And Lisa, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you.
It's fantastic to have you, and we are eager to get in. A little later on, we're going to talk to JP Robichaud and Heather Elizabeth all about the personal aspects of consent. We're also going to talk with Matt and Shadow Girl from Ontario Kink about the BDSM relationship with consent. And just after this first song, we're going to talk with our Sex City legal person who is always here to help us out, Raymond Moti. He's going to tell us about the legal aspects of consent. But first, let's take a listen to What's My Name by Rihanna featuring Drake.
Oh, na, na, what's my name? Oh, na, na, what's my name?
Heard you good with them soft lips. Yeah, you know word of mouth. The square root of 69 is a sum, right? Cause I've been trying to work it out. Oh, good weed, white wine. I come alive in the nighttime. Yeah, okay, away we go. Only thing we have on is the radio. Oh, let it play. Say you gotta leave, but I know you wanna stay. You just waiting on the traffic jam to finish, girl. The things that we could do in 20 minutes, girl. Say my name, wear it out. It's getting hot, crack a window, air it out. I could get you through a mighty long day. Soon as you go, the text that I write is gonna say.
Oh, nah, nah, what's the name? Got the something that keeps me so
Sex City, your next online connection. Find us on Twitter at Sex City Radio. We're also on Facebook as Sex City. And check out years of past shows at sexcityradio.blogspot.ca. Plug in and get turned on. Sex City.
And we are back here on Sex City. We are hoping you are finding us on all those portals. And make sure you check out CIUT 89.5. Find them online at CIUT.fm. Maybe you're listening to us streaming, which would be fantastic. We do receive notes from fans from all around the world, which is awesome. And find CIUT on Facebook, find them on Twitter, CIUT 89.5. Make sure you follow that community radio because it makes all the difference in places like this. We are here talking about consent and how it has really, really been on the minds of so many people. Two major things happening. We've got here locally in Toronto, the Gian Gomeshi scandal at the CBC. Gian Gomeshi, a host of a very popular radio show on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, who has now been charged with four different counts, and we'll get more into those a little bit with Raymond. And we've also got in the United States, beloved comedian Bill Cosby, and some particular issues with consent there. So this is not isolated, of course, to these individuals. Consent is an issue that's definitely a problem in society that really needs addressing, and we're hoping to have really good conversations tonight. And this is a topic that Lisa suggested, and we're really happy about it, and I'm so happy that she suggested it. So I think we need to get into talking with Raymond Moti, our lawyer, and not our lawyer, but we don't have any problems on Sex City and legal issues, not yet at least, but he's come in and help us on a number of different topics. Yeah. and we're always happy to help him. Raymond, welcome.
Thanks for having me again.
So this thing that happened, I mean, we could be focusing specifically Toronto for our listeners around. If you haven't heard of Gian Gomeshi and this issue, he was a host of a radio show. Situations came about of his personal relationships, of being of a potentially non-consensual nature. He was fired from his position at the CBC, and as soon as he was fired, he fired off a Facebook post stating that he was fired because of his personal predilections toward BDSM and rough sex, and that he was being fired because of those interests while asserting that his relationships were consensual. Numerous women have since come out, some publicly, who have said that no, it was not consensual, and there are incidents in his workplace of non-consensual behavior and assault and language that you know also played a part in this. And it was a really big deal here. It's a really big deal in the States as well. Yeah. I didn't even know at the time that Gomeshi's show was in 175 different radio stations in the States. Like, right. It was, for a Canadian thing, that's big. Yeah. Oh, wow. We usually only produce, you know, comedians that go down to the South and manage to get such notoriety, but it was a big deal. So maybe, Raymond, you can fill us in a little bit on the charges that have been laid at this point and where this comes into ideas of consent.
Okay. Well, he's been charged with five counts.
Oh, five, sorry.
Four counts are of sexual assault and one count of choking, essentially. Basically, with respect to consent, as it relates to sexual assault, in every criminal case, you have to prove an act and you have to prove the mental intent to do it. And consent relates to the act itself. Consent has been defined at the Supreme Court of Canada as being ongoing and conscious. There was a case about 7 years ago called J.A. at the Supreme Court. A couple in a long-term common law relationship engaged in asphyxiation conduct. The man asphyxiated his partner, who had consented in advance. And once she was unconscious, he inserted a dildo in her anus. When she awoke, he removed it, and then they proceeded to have vaginal intercourse. 2 months later, she made a sexual assault complaint saying that she consented to the asphyxiation. She did not consent to the anal penetration with the dildo, but she consented to the vaginal intercourse. And then later she tried to recant her allegation, saying that she made the complaint because she was worried that her now ex-partner would try to get sole custody of the kids. It went to trial. He was convicted. It went to appeal. He was acquitted. It went to the Supreme Court. And in his 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court upheld the conviction. Basically, what they've said is that consent must be conscious and it's ongoing. So you can't consent to anything in advance, and you can't consent while you're unconscious. Or now, where things get a little bit complicated is where subjectively the person has consented at the time, but legally it's as if they didn't consent. The law basically takes away that consent. We call it vitiated consent. So if you think of a consensual bar fight, you may have consented to participating in the bar fight at the time, but you can't consent to serious hurt or non-trivial bodily harm that arises through that bar fight. Or if the other person dies, a consent is not a defense to being a participant in that bar fight and causing that bodily harm or death. Bodily harm is usually defined as serious hurt and considered non-trivial. So this includes heavy bruising, cuts, any bleeding that occurs, or broken bones. In 1995, that reasoning was applied in a case called Welch. Now, you can consent to bodily harm if there is social value to it. So medical procedures, tattooing, stunt work, sports.
Yeah, hockey fights was the one I read that has social value.
Yes. Now, in Welch, that reasoning was applied in a case that involved BDSM. The complainant argued that it was non-consensual. The defendant argued that there was consent. And the Court of Appeal in Ontario in 1995 ruled that, and I'm quoting here, although the law must recognize individual freedom and autonomy, when the activity in question involves pursuing sexual gratification by deliberately inflicting pain upon another that gives rise to bodily harm, then the personal interest of the individuals involved must yield to the more compelling societal interests which are challenged by such behavior. So basically what they're saying is that BDSM has no social value, quote unquote. And that is pretty much the law in Canada. Sorry, the law in Ontario as it relates to bodily harm that occurs in BDSM.
You said in Ontario. Is that across? That's not across Canada then?
No, it's because that particular case was decided by the Ontario Court of Appeal.
Okay.
So it applies in Ontario. Now, in other provinces, it's not necessarily binding, but it's what we call persuasive.
Okay.
Particularly because it is the Ontario Court of Appeal, it's heavily persuasive. And, you know, a BC judge would look with favor on that decision, but it's not necessarily binding on a BC judge.
Okay.
So now, with the focus so much on consent and BDSM, mm-hmm. And which we're going to get into definitely some more with our next guests. Is there any thought that, you know, this needs to be revised? I mean, the thought that BDSM has air quotes, quote unquote, no mm-hmm. social value, is kind of troubling. It looks like nanny state, and you know, these are people really. Tisk tisk, shake mm-hmm. your finger, you know, don't play those games, folks. Whereas again, like I said, like the hockey fight thing, I love hockey, but mm-hmm. fights in hockey have no social value either. So does it look like there's any potential direction at this point to maybe reconsider this?
Actually, it's funny you should mention that, because the very next case I was going to talk about is a case called Zhao from the Ontario Court of Appeal from last year. And a three-judge panel of the Ontario Court of Appeal basically looked at a case dealing with sex assault causing bodily harm and what you need to prove in order to prove sex assault causing bodily harm. It's a very kind of technical decision, but in what we call obiter, which is non-binding language by the court. So you have the main principle that they're dealing with, but you have this other language in the case that's not necessarily binding, but something to think about, really. And in non-binding language, what they've said is that it may be that Welch is not good law anymore, including cases dealing with BDSM. And they specifically said that. Now, because it's not related directly to the case in front of them, it's not decided, you know, on a final basis, but they're basically saying we're open to the argument. Now, what's interesting is that this is something that could have been dealt with in Gian Gomeshi's case, but because he's not actually charged with sex assault causing bodily harm, it's not something that can be litigated in Gian's case. He's only charged with sex assault, what we call sex assault simpliciter.
Interesting. That's, I know we need to get moving on the show to squeeze in everyone, but at the same time, I just have to ask, do you think there was, because it's such a high profile case, was that purposeful to not open that debate?
To some extent. One of the other issues is that because it's historical sex assaults, proving actual harm, bodily harm, might be more difficult because there may not be photos, there may not be medical records, there may not be that kind of objective evidence of bodily harm that occurred 10 years ago, whatever. So I think the consideration for charging him with sex assault simpliciter as opposed to sex assault causing bodily harm. But it certainly kind of makes the Crown's case easier to prove because they don't have to go into bodily harm. It's just an issue of consent.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So I think we, unless Lisa has anything else.
No.
This is I think, a great basis to go on with the rest of the show. Having this, these legal ideas behind us, and it's very complex, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more in the near future about consent and legalities and things, and I don't know, I personally hope that it does get opened up a little bit more if that wasn't already clear, but Raymond, thank you very much for coming on and explaining this to us tonight. I think that it's always great to have this kind of basis for our discussions, and especially such an important discussion that we're having, so thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. So we're just going to take a little break with a little bit of a fun song on, you know, a little heavier topic, but we're going to have a little fun with some Flight of the Conchords, and we will be right back on Sex City.
A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very nice. Just because you've been exploring my mouth doesn't mean you get to take an expedition further south, no. A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very, very nice. Just because we've been playing tonsil hockey doesn't mean you get to score the goal that's in my jockeys. Just because I'm in a two-man novelty band doesn't mean it's all about go around loving everyone. I just wouldn't get anything done. You could take me out to dinner, that might be quite nice. You could buy me a burrito and some beans and rice, but that won't get you into fans' paradise. They call it a fire because
cause it takes you up to heaven. Oh, oh. A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very, very nice.
I'm only one man, baby, pretty baby. We're only two men, ladies, the babies, the pretty babies.
Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
And welcome back to Sex City here on CIUT every Tuesday night from 11 p.m. to midnight, talking all about sex and sexuality and gender and everything that encompasses, which frankly, it's pretty much everything. I don't know. I think we can maybe agree on that. My name is John Presick. I'm one of the Sex City hosts. And this week we have our special co-host, Lisa Booker. And we are now very happy to welcome the founders of a new group in Ontario, which is doing great work, and I heartily recommend finding the website and getting on the newsletter list. Matt and Shadow Girl from Ontario Kink. This is fantastic to have you guys.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Maybe just before we get in, tell us a little bit about Ontario Kink and what you're doing on the site and everything that's going on.
Okay. Basically, it was a website. It was an idea that we had because we wanted to get the kink community to talk more openly about things like consent. And also, we knew that there was a lot of people out there, especially with the prominence of 50 Shades. We wanted to get people introduced to proper material, educational material, rather than just stumble about and try to find their way as they explore, the 50 Shades content kind of thing. So it was an idea that we had, and we're trying to grow it to make it as comprehensive as possible, but both to get people involved in the kink community and ultimately just to educate people on things like consent and how to, have fulfilling sex lives and kink lives with their partners.
Which is fantastic. It's like I said, get on the newsletter mailing list. The first or second newsletter came out not too long ago, and I remember getting it in my inbox and going like, oh, that thing's awesome. That's a great resource. And I'm just going to guess, I'm just throwing it out there as a guess, that when this whole Jean Gomeshi thing came down and you got to read his statement saying, I'm just a BDSM lover and I did everything by the books, and then things started to come out that it was just like, oh my God, what are you doing to us, you
I think there was a little bit of that. I think the initial reaction from many people, myself included, was, if what he is saying is true, then this is something we all need to care about, because we can all see ourselves being in that position. I mean, lots of people could lose their jobs based on what they do in their private sex life. Mm-hmm. And if what he had been saying was true, then it's definitely something we should probably, rally behind in a way to try to at least make sure that the truth comes out. And it's, consensual acts between adults should not have any result on your work life. As long as it's kept out of work, then that's fine. And as more of the allegations, more of the information came through, I think a lot of people were very disgusted at what they were hearing. And I know I was. I know Shadow Girl also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely was disgusting to hear the things that he was claiming was consensual kink. Because everything that we've heard from these women is the complete opposite of what we look for in the community and what we kind of stand for. So,
that's a horror story.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely was. It was something that, although it brought kink to the forefront, it was in a negative light, and that was something that many people are not comfortable with. And unfortunately, the reaction when that happens is that kinksters tend to want to hide. They don't want to be grouped in with somebody like Gian Gomeshi. And so rather than confront it and say, hold on, what I do is not what this guy is describing, or not what, you know, we're finding out about this guy. And as a result, a lot of people who should have been maybe at the forefront talking about consent and what that means and how much fun you can have in a kinky relationship, those people decided to hide in the background. Luckily, there's a lot of people that are still willing to talk about it. But this is definitely the time to do that and educate people on what consent really is.
Yeah, there was it did seem very galvanizing. Not being greatly involved in the kink community per se, but knowing a number of people who are, I did see a lot of response in the day, 2 days, 3 days afterwards of people responding to this. Now, and it was very interesting because, I mean, you mentioned it, the words that are 50 Shades, of how 50 Shades of Grey has been, you know, for the good or bad, your perspective of opening the idea of kink and BDSM to millions of people, that it was a topic that was readily discussed almost by people. I take the GO train. I would catch people chatting about it on the GO train.
Yeah.
In the craze of it, I was seeing like 20, 30 people reading the books in one train ride. And people actively discussing openly. But at the same time, when this happened, it seemed like it was shut down. But then, like you said, there were some people that were making statements. And the very day, I mean, his statement, that Facebook thing that he put out, seemed like such a calculated and very well crafted.
Yeah.
I don't know if he hoped that it was going to ride him through the whole thing, but it was very well crafted to frame it.
Absolutely. Reading it the first time, I got goosebumps because literally everything in there has been a fear for me at one point that maybe I would get outed and that my employer would have an issue with what I do, despite the fact that it is all consensual and we discuss it, we negotiate. But you know, there is moral clauses in many employment contracts. So really the judgment comes down to what the employer is okay with, what they're not. And hearing what he was saying and taking that at face value, you were kind of left going, well, oh God, this could be me. And it was only once, you know, the true story started to develop and allegations were brought forward, that people were able to step back and realize what the truth was. However, like you said, it was very calculated. It left most people reading it either saying, wow, this guy truly is a kinkster because he's saying exactly what I would say in that position. Mm-hmm. Or other people who are perhaps a bit more cynical would look at it and say, well, he definitely has hired people that have, you know, done their research. They've looked into the kink community. Yeah. They've looked at the way that it would be worded by kinksters. And that is what they replicated. And they got a lot of sympathy out of it. I don't know if you looked at any of the comments on his post, but there was hundreds of people, you know, basically defending his actions, and not knowing the true story, of course. But there was a lot of people rallying behind him, basically saying that, you know, the government and the worker workplace has no view in your bedroom. It should be staying removed. And I think that that's true. However, in this case, we're learning that there was a hell of a lot more to it than what he was professing on Facebook. So.
You bring up a very interesting point, something that became a topic whenever I was discussing this with people in the few days afterwards, before all of the more and more allegations came out. But I happen to also work for the government, and I know that if I were to do something publicly that were to bring disrepute upon the government, then that violates my morality clause. And I would
you
be
and
fired.
Every MP out there,
pretty much. Yeah, I know. Except, you know, they'll get far more severance than that the idea of this morality clause and the problematic nature of these wide ranging ideas of a morality clause that, you know, maybe someone who is a public figure who happens to enjoy, and maybe if he was totally on the up and up and 100% consensual, and there was no issue, and it wasn't allegations of assault coming out, but just someone discussing him in a public way, and he was an angel of the BDSM community, he could still potentially be
at risk
for losing his job. And you mentioned that, mm-hmm. you know, your own fears, and that is a definite fear. Now, even in this climate of post 50 Shades and everything, is there, do you see that maybe we could possibly ever move away from this fear? Like, is this something that employers and society are ever going to be able to move away from?
I feel like the trend of it being taken off the DSM is a big movement towards taking it out of psychological, out of being a psychological disorder and into being a more accepted activities. I think that's a huge, huge thing that happened recently. So,
yeah, and is that that's the DSM-5?
It's DSM-5, yeah.
Diagnostic. I can't remember the acronym, what it stands for, but it's basically
studies manual or something like that.
Yeah, what goes into psychological and psychiatric study and
it's how
disciplines.
It's how you diagnose patients.
Right.
You use it for diagnosis.
And BDSM has been taken out.
Yeah, it used to be under paraphilias in the DSM-4, but has been taken out and is only considered a mental disorder if it's causing the patient distress. So normal BDSM is considered normal, consensual, as far as psychologically.
Mm-hmm. So now, moving forward with Ontario Kink, is this something that... I mean, there's the one idea of, like, keeping up with the case and the situation. Is this something that you are planning to do further outreach on to maybe help people understand BDSM in a general sense, like beyond the community into the greater community and society?
Well, I mean, the great thing, because it's always good to go through life looking for a silver lining, as sad as it is that he was able to do this with these women, it does provide us an opportunity with the just consent in general, that we can get people discussing what consent is all about, how to negotiate things properly, what their rights are. Even when they feel that their consent has been violated, how to handle that, whether it be to discuss it with a person, discuss it with, some other form of help, or to go to the police. So really this this case, although it's very clear now that it's not necessarily a consensual BDSM case, it is a talking point for us. It's an opportunity for us to clarify what consensual kink is all about, why it can be a very good thing, and how to go about it properly. And that's certainly something that, you know, we've decided that Ontario Kink really needs to focus on. Our website was designed mostly to help educate people. And so we do every once in a while when items like this come in the news, we're gonna take advantage of that unfortunate situation and use it as an opportunity to talk to people about it. Because there are people out there who are not aware of what kink truly is. I mean, maybe they're just reading a story that they read online where the person was a 24/7 slave or something like that, and they say, well, you know, I was really turned on by that, so I need to be that way. I don't have any rights in that relationship, and that's BS. So we want to get out there and basically talk to people, let them know what consent is all about, how to develop healthy relationships, and stay away from those situations that will leave them abused and hurt.
So how do we go about consent properly?
Well, that's a difficult question in a way. It's simple in terms of you need to discuss everything. The problem is that people don't look at consent as being a sexy thing, partially because in many ways it's not. In other ways, it can be really sexy. And I think your future guests in the next segment will get into that more. But really, negotiating everything is a big part of making consent an integral part of relationships, whether they be a vanilla relationship or a, you know, kinky BDSM relationship. All of those relationships, you do need to have consent to proceed past, you know, a casual date somewhere. So really what we do in the kink community, being in kinky relationships is no different from what other people are doing, having discussed, hey, do you want to have sex? Yes, I do. We just go a step further and say, yes, I want to have sex, but I want it to follow this pattern. I want to involve these things, you know? And I think that's the important discussion that we all need to be having. And it's definitely something that all parties involved need to take an active part in. Otherwise, without that open communication, it will stay a taboo thing. It will be something where there are many, many problems going down the road. We'll hear many cases in the news where people, you know, did not respect consent and
or are using BDSM as a cover for
which is what we're seeing in this case. And it's unfortunate that we get grouped in with people like Gomeshi, but it definitely does give us a chance to kind of come to the forefront and talk about it openly. So
yeah, and that's what we will, like Matt said. I know Matt from his podcast, yes, the O Team, so he knows how to throw to the next segment, and we are going to do just that. We're thanking Matt and Shadow Girl for coming up and chatting with us, and by all means, check out OntarioKink.com and give it a look and sign up for that newsletter. Thanks for coming on tonight.
It was a pleasure.
All right, we're going to take a quick little listen to Bandages from Hot Hot Heat and be back on Sex City.
Don't worry now, don't worry, 'cause it will all turn around, around. Hi, this is Carol Pope, and you're listening to Sex City on CIUT 89.5 FM.
And welcome back to Sex City. Yeah, we had an awesome show with Carol Pope. That was a really fun one. And always check out all the shows. You can catch the past ones at our podcast site, sexcityradio.blogspot.ca, and follow us on Twitter at Sex City Radio, and find us on Facebook. Just type in Sex City, not Sex in the City. It just defaults to that. But no, we're just Sex City here at CIUT 89.5 FM, and we're always happy to be here talking about sex, sex on Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. until midnight. This is a really great show so far. I'm really happy with the assemblage of guests. I'm really happy to have Lisa here as our guest host, and now two people who I utterly respect, two great sex educators from here in Toronto, JP Robichaud and Heather Elizabeth, and they at the most recent Playground, we talk about Playground a lot on the show, they put on a workshop called A Conversation on Consent. So it was only a natural to have two great people come in to talk about this. It was a nuanced and complex conversation about both the easy and challenging areas of consent, both in the giving and receiving of it. And after all we've talked about legalities, we talked about how current situations have affected the BDSM community. I think that moving on and moving forward with JP and Heather can help us understand how we individually and societally can move on with the idea of consent in our personal lives and as we interrelate with each other. JP, Heather, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's really great to hear that you're saying lovely things about Playground. It's the thing that we've been doing for a while now, and really very, you know, amazingly proud of the programming and the people that we've had to come and speak. And I feel like it's much like what happens here. They're conversations that really are important conversations to have, vital conversations to have, and the people who come to Playground, I think, really walk away with some of the skills that you're talking about now, like how to move forward from, and in this amazingly challenging arena that is human sexuality, but also specifically around consent. And that was part of the impetus behind me coming up with this session and then speaking with Heather about asking Heather if she would be willing to have a, it's funny, it's considered a session, but really it was sort of the two of us just having a conversation about consent in front of a room full of people. So they got to not only experience some of the ideas that we'd come up with a little bit ahead of time, but also just watch the different ways that we think about the world kind of come together in a really interestingly enough, in a really safe space, to explore all of the different ways that consent can be interacted with, the way that consent can be applied, the way that consent can shift the way that you think about the world and the way that you think about other humans.
Mm-hmm. And it is difficult, right? Because people often walk away from shows like this, from workshops, and kind of wondering what they can actually take home and what they can do. So our aim was to get people thinking about consent in a really nuanced way so we could present it as something that was not necessarily easy, like something that actually did require people to step into. Like, affirmative consent doesn't just happen, right? It's an active thing. It's an ongoing creation. So you can't just passively expect it to happen. That's not what makes affirmative consent. But we really wanted people to be able to have tools to take home and be able to put into practice.
So what kind of tools did you put in people's consent tool belt?
Well, we this isn't really good for radio, but we we had a chart, we had a grid,
right,
where we were able to plot out what we thought of as being the sort of standard consent narrative, the way that people think about the journey that consent takes from the sort of the beginning of a conversation about consent acquisition. And it's a very linear path, but then because it's a grid, it became more complex, and there's different areas of it that, again, because it's a grid, it's not very good for radio. But as a visual tool, I think it helped people to sort of look at how consent might come together for them, and recognize that when we talked about where our individual consent and any one experience might actually fall on this grid, it ended up looking kind of like a plate of spaghetti. Consent is not only amazingly complex, but it's also amazingly fluid. And the idea that consent is not this sort of fixed point, I think, was a very valuable thing that we tried to express to people. That consent is not something that you do once and then you got it. And this is part of what Heather was just talking about. It's the it doesn't happen naturally. It is something that requires work and care and attention and a constant open and honest engagement with the person that you are trying to create this, to co-create this safe, consensual space with.
Mm-hmm. And so the first thing we really wanted to do was for people to be aware that more than I say yes, you say yes, everything is sunshine and roses, like there's more than this. And we actually wanted to shift the conversation away from consent equals sex to consent for consent's sake is actually the win in this. We talk about the idea of co-creation of safety. So when you're doing that, when the two of you are co-creating a safe space to share consent in, and by doing that, you're number one, making space for other people to share their boundaries and what makes them a yes. And then you're also stating to the best of your own abilities, recognizing that knowing your own boundaries can be hard, but working and pushing yourself to state your boundaries to the best of your ability, you wind up creating this living, breathing thing with your partner or partners that you're engaging with. And just being aware of that helps put it to the front of people's minds so that they can start doing it. But the point isn't necessarily to have consent so you can have sex. The point is to have consent so you can have ethical interactions with whoever you choose to engage with.
Yeah, there's the idea that the reason that you have any kind of a solid conversation around consent, or the reason why it's valuable to come up with an ethical framework for consent, is so that you can get lucky. That's what that sets up. Is a really dangerous situation where if suddenly in the middle of a consent conversation you start to maybe have the idea that sex might not be happening, you may find yourself subtly, consciously, unconsciously shifting your goal inside of the situation. So suddenly if the goal shifts from I want to acquire consent to I want to have sex, the choices that you make that could lead you to being able to have the sex that you want to have might not be grounded in a solid, consensual, protective framework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it winds up being, ironically, a little bit unethical, right? And that can happen both as the person who is receiving consent, and we often talk about in the traditional narrative, consent is something you get from someone else, right? It's like really the narrative is acquire consent before anything else happening. But it's also really important to think about how we give consent. Number one, because that's what actually makes it easier. When you're really stepping into desire and when you're really expressing what you want, it's clearer for other people. And when I say easier, I mean clear. I don't mean it's smooth. I don't mean it's graceful. I don't mean it's necessarily.
It can be amazingly awkward.
Yeah.
It can be really, like, the conversations can be super difficult, but that doesn't make them not valuable. I mean, it doesn't make them not required. There is that, everybody has that experience of the thing that you work really hard at is often the thing that feels the best when you finished it. Mm-hmm. Right? The joy of creating something. And through the longer process of this sort of consent conversation or the co-creation of the safe space, it's valuable, it's important. Heather's right in that it's not easy, but it's simple.
Necessary.
And definitely
gets better.
Necessary.
And gets and easier every single time you engage in it.
Yeah.
And again, by shifting the narrative to actively giving consent, that forces us to be aware of self-coercion when it comes to consent as well. Because when the end goal is sex, as opposed to the end goal of creating this safe, consensual space, sometimes we can push our own boundaries more than we're comfortable with. And while we still might, at the end of the day, consent to what happened, that can lead to a lot of sexual regret, right? Or a lot of, like, indifferent sex, or
and really, who wants to have indifferent sex? I mean, it just seems like any sex that comes from a place of like, Okay.
I guess.
Sure. Fine.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? It just seems like the when you can have really keyed in, engaged conversation with somebody, and that is about not only stating a desire, but listening to a desire, listening to a desire stated, and being able to be really clear about, like, okay, so where are the points that our desires meet? Like, where can we connect inside of this situation? And I'm having this conversation, and I'm bringing my most open and therefore vulnerable self into this conversation because I want to bring the best me possible to this, and I want to create a space where you feel safe and comfortable to bring the best you possible to this. And inside of that structure, inside of that framework, which is a consent conversation, that's where you can have something that becomes absolutely amazing. But again, to bring it back to this point, the absolutely amazing thing that might happen could be not sex. But it still is going to be amazing. And then the next time you have the conversation, it'll be easier. And the time after that, it'll be easier. And the time after that, it'll be even more, right? And it's like, it's a skill. It's mm-hmm. it's a life skill. I mean, having solid and grounded and open conversations about consent is an amazing life skill.
Absolutely.
And that's really fantastic. My God, I could sit and listen to both of you and Raymond and Matt and Shadow Girl talk about this all night. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we can't. This has been such a special show for me. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you to both of you, and thank you to Matt and Shadow Girl and Raymond. Many thanks to Mark, our producer on the other side, who's taking care of the sound tonight. And special thank you to Lisa for sponsoring us and coming in and sharing all of this and helping put this show together and pick these songs and this topic and everything. It's been an amazing night. Everybody, thank you very much. Be sure to follow along with all of our conversations on Sex City here on Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. to midnight. Check us out on the Twitter at Sex City Radio, Facebook Sex City, and the Blogspot, the podcast archives at sexcityradio.blogspot.ca. Again, I'm John. I've been your host tonight. I hope that you've enjoyed this conversation on consent. It's going to be an ongoing conversation, just like everyone has mentioned tonight, in all aspects. This conversation is going to continue, and we'll be happy to discuss it more on Sex City some other time, but thank you for listening tonight. Let's move on, and let's take another little listen to this little song coming out of Britain. These comedians who put together this kind of awesome consent song. So this is Consent by Jack and Dean. Have a good night.
I'm sitting in the club, I feel it's not hot enough, until you walk in it's like, oh my God. Then again, I don't believe in God, I believe in you, and that's the truth. I want to get close to you and get all up inside your space.
Whoa there, what are you doing? You don't even know this woman, she's a fine young thing, she don't need grooming, she's a human being, she's got a brain and remembers everything you say, which reminds me, hi, sorry to talk about you. Anyway, Jabby got things to do.
Women?
No, that's what I'm trying to say, let's let this out to the right extent.
This guy wants you, but only with your consent. Only with your consent. Only with your consent. Only with your consent.
If you've got the time to make those kind of moves, then make it right, what have you got to lose?
Let's lay things down, clear and stable. This ain't no game, this ain't no fable.
This is a story about two individuals. Communications grew, they became a sort of ritual. One of them decided to change their mind.
And just to clarify, that's completely fine.
Cause no means no.
Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Yes, I get it now.
It works
only with your consent. Only with your consent. Only with your consent. Only with your consent.
Dean, I've worked
soaking in a pool of sweat. A cautionary tale that I won't forget. It's blown my mind, this moral's tight.
Now's the time to set things right. Turn a new pace from the sexist rage.
It just shouldn't happen in this day and age.
So next time I see a girl, I'll be true.
And if I'm feeling brave, I might try a guy too.
What?
Never mind. I feel like I've learned something.
Oh yeah? Well, do you want to apply what you've learned?
Not really. Not tonight. Can't be bothered.
What do you want to do then?
Just want to have some fun. I got us a guitar solo.
Oh, how much?
£12.
Only with your consent. Only with your consent.